Welcome to SMT Pod, the premier audio publication of the Society for Music Theory. In this week's episode, Jeremy Oros discusses a formal trend that's been emerging in top 100 pop and rock songs. In the last decade or so, a surprisingly high number of songs in verse-chorus form contain only two statements of the chorus, as opposed to the typical three. Over the course of the episode, Oros walks us through his detailed corpus-based study, discussing nuances of this trend and the impact that this form, what he calls 2C for short, has on the organization and sound of this music.
About 2 years ago, I gave a deep listen to NPR's playlist of their top 100 songs of 2021. I figured this would be worthwhile since I was about to teach a graduate course in popular music. At the very least, I'd learn something about emerging artists, and I did. But I ended up learning something else as well. After completing a formal analysis of each song, I noticed that a remarkable number of them, at least 25 out of 100, were clearly in verse-chorus form, but they included only two statements of the chorus section. This surprised me because, as far as I was aware, both from my own listening and from reading the scholarship on popular music, songs in verse-chorus form most typically include three statements of the chorus, one following each of the two verses, and a third chorus following a bridge, interlude, or other contrasting section. In this podcast, I'll share what I learned from studying songs with only two chorus statements, which I will call 2C form for short. Specifically, I'll talk about how these songs are typically organized, how long they last, and which artists create them. I was also curious about the history of songs in 2C form. I could think of a few examples of songs from earlier decades that had only two chorus statements, like Stone Temple Pilots' Interstate Love Song, or Mr. Brightside by The Killers, despite being able to come up with a few anecdotal examples, it seems reasonable to hypothesize, given that there are no significant scholarly contributions on 2C form, that this form type was less common prior to 2021. To explore that hypothesis, I'll look at some data from the decade leading up to that year to see if there are any emerging trends about the relative popularity of 2C form in recent years. Let's begin by exploring the songs in 2C form from 2021. Instead of looking at the NPR list alone, which was compiled by a small group of journalists, I decided to also look at the songs on the US Billboard Hot 100 chart from the same year in order to get a bigger picture. Combining the 100 songs on the NPR list and the songs on the Billboard Hot 100 doesn't quite give us 200 songs to work with, however, because 10 songs overlap between the two lists, and a few entries were unusable for documenting trends in recent popular music. It's worth pausing to acknowledge that there are quite a few maybes, songs that one might reasonably argue should also count. But if there's room to debate whether or not there is a chorus, which section counts as the chorus when there are two viable candidates, or even sometimes how many statements of the chorus there are, I've excluded it from the list. Limiting ourselves to these 38 clear cases of 2C form, I think the most pressing question to answer is how these songs are organized in the absence of a third chorus statement. While they all have at least one verse, and most have a short intro and outro, beyond this, the formal shape of these songs varies widely, both in which sections are included and in the order in which these sections appear. The most notable difference in formal design involves the treatment of the bridge section. I'll divide these songs into three types based upon whether or not a bridge appears and where in the song it shows up, if present. Type 1 songs are those without a bridge or substantial contrasting section. Type 2 are those with a bridge near the end of a song, following two verse-chorus units. And type 3 are those with a bridge, but not at the end of the song. In other words, the bridge in a type 3 appears somewhere before the second and last chorus statement. Type 1 songs, those without a bridge, are the most common in this set. 22 of these 38 songs in 2C form, that's nearly 60%, fall into this category.
Besides Whoopty by rapper CJ, which features only a single verse between two chorus statements, most of these songs include, at a minimum, two verses and two choruses, in that order, bookended by a short intro and outro. Three clear examples of songs in this form are Iced Coffee by Larry June.
You talking to a different type of dude, a different type of life, I'm a different type to lose.
Lonely by Justin Bieber and Benny Blanco.
I'm so lonely.
And Back of My Hand by the indie rock band Bachelor. Other Type 1 songs include more sections, like Giveon's Heartbreak Anniversary, which features a pre-chorus between the song's two verses and choruses, or Good Ones by Charlie XCX, which appends a post-chorus or dance chorus at the end of each verse-chorus unit.
I always let the good ones go.
This variation in the presence or absence of a pre-chorus or post-chorus, however, does not change the formal type in my categorization system. So long as the song doesn't have a bridge, that is, a contrasting section that is not part of the rotation of sections from verse to chorus, I count it as Type 1. Unlike Type 1 songs, Type 2 examples have a contrasting section after the second chorus, typically serving as the last substantial section of the song. 12 out of these 38 songs, or about 30%, are Type 2.
Examples include Olivia Rodrigo's Deja Vu.
Do you get deja vu when she's with you?
Snail Mail's Automate. And Victoria Monet's Friend You Can Keep.
Wanna be a friend you can keep.
All three of these songs feature a clear bridge following two verse-chorus units. That is, they follow the typical formal shape of their three-chorus counterparts up through the bridge, but they simply forgo a third chorus statement. In some Type 2 songs, like Juno by the Black Star Kids, a new section appears at the song's conclusion, following the second chorus, that some listeners might label as a bridge, but others might label as an outro. Regardless of what we might call this new section, it differs significantly enough from all other sections of the song, that is, it provides enough contrast, that I'm comfortable labeling it as a Type 2. If a song has an outro that instead presents a variation on material heard in an earlier section, as happens in the song Like I Used To by Angel Olsen and Sharon Van Etten, I instead classify it as Type 1. Admittedly, the line between Type 1 and Type 2 songs can be fuzzy, and I recognize that some listeners may quibble with my analysis of some borderline cases.
Type 3 songs, which include a bridge or contrasting section somewhere before the second and final chorus, are, in this set of songs, the most rare. Only 4 out of these 38, a bit over 10%, fall into this category. Each of them has a unique formal shape. All of the sound clips I've played so far have been part of the song's chorus. These next 4 will be the bridge. Although in 3 chorus songs, a bridge most typically appears immediately before the last chorus, only one of these 4 songs features a bridge that directly precedes the second and final chorus, which is Marchita by Mexican songstress Silvia Estrada. In Montero by Lil Nas X, the bridge instead follows the first chorus, inserted before verse 2. While in Be Sweet by Japanese Breakfast, an 8-bar bridge appears between the second verse and the second pre-chorus.
Your mistakes, and, I'll let you back.
And if you're wondering about the last of these four songs, Astronaut in the Ocean by Masked Wolf, well, this song is more or less an arch form. That is, chorus, verse, bridge, verse, chorus, or in neutral terms, ABCBA.
Let's just get this straight for a second. I'ma work, even if I don't get paid for progression. I'ma get it.
I'd now like to address the typical duration of these songs. Although one might assume that most of the songs in 2C form are among the shortest to appear on their respective year-end lists, the 2C songs from 2021 are, on average, similar in length to their three-chorus counterparts. Songs with at least three choruses from the 2021 NPR and Billboard lists have an average length of 3 minutes and 36 seconds, while the 2C songs are, on average, only 11 seconds shorter, averaging 3 minutes and 25 seconds. Despite an unremarkable average length, the duration of these 2C songs varies widely. While 10 of them are less than 2.5 minutes in length, 8 of them are more than 4 minutes long. The two longest entries, both Type 2 songs, include two verses, two choruses, and a bridge, plus quite a few interludes that increase their length appreciably. Hard Drive by Cassandra Jenkins, which is about 5.5 minutes long, features extended spoken sections.
And with her pink lipstick and her Queen's accent, she went on for a while about our president.
And the longest track, Eternal Gate, by the doom metal band Chemists, is over 7 minutes long due to its expansive guitar solos.
On the other hand, some of these 2C songs are notably short. One example, even, is less than 2 minutes long. The song Just For Me by Pink Panthers clocks in at only 1 minute 56.
When you wipe your tears, do you wipe them just for me?
I would guess that some observers may look at short songs by young Gen Z artists like Pink Panthers and draw hasty conclusions about the music of this generation with their short attention spans and a fascination with brief consumable content like TikTok reels. But I would urge caution against such moralizing. There isn't enough evidence to suggest that artists are releasing songs in 2C form specifically because they prefer to produce shorter tracks. That said, I would argue that some of the longest 2C songs from 2021, those that pass the 5-minute mark, may avoid a third chorus statement to prevent them from reaching an unwieldy length. Two such examples come to mind. One is Let 'Em Burn by singer-songwriter Emily Scott Robinson. The first chorus appears late in the song, following two complete statements of the verse plus pre-chorus, and the more emphatic second statement of the chorus forms a more than satisfying conclusion to this moving lyric ballad.
Let 'em burn, burn, burn.
A third chorus statement would not only add at least 40 seconds to the song, but more to the point, it would feel perfunctory. A similar example is the song What It Is by Amber Mark. This tune features a chorus that's nearly a full minute in length. If a complete third chorus had been included following the bridge, the song would be well over 6 minutes long. But ungainly length isn't even the most compelling reason not to include another statement of this section. The four-line chorus is catchy, but it's also quite repetitive. The first, second, and fourth lines have essentially the same musical material, and this content might feel a bit stale after a third time through. The song instead concludes with a brief nod to the chorus, a pared-down version of the first line only, rather than the section proper, which I think is a wise production decision. It gives the listener a quick reminder of the chorus material without including a redundant, not to mention long, third statement that would add little to the song musically.
I'd also like to share some observations about which artists produced the most 2C songs on the NPR and Billboard lists from 2021, both in terms of artist identity and genre. Even if the relationship between genre affiliation and musical style is tenuous at best, it is nevertheless a productive parameter for exploring these 2C songs. First, there are 7 more songs in 2C form on the NPR list than there are on the Billboard Hot 100. This can partly be explained, I believe, by the fact that most songs on the Hot 100 are by big-name artists, pop giants like Ariana Grande, Ed Sheeran, or Dua Lipa, and country stars like Luke Combs and Florida Georgia Line. In 2021, at least, these established acts generally stuck with the tried-and-true formal template, including 3 or more chorus statements in their songs. The NPR list, rather, included music by a more diverse set of artists, representing a wider range of genres, geographical locations, stages of career, and relative levels of fame or prestige. Perhaps unsurprisingly, a wider range of formal shapes can be found on this list, which not only means that there are more songs in 2C form, but also more songs that are not clearly in verse-chorus form at all. Second, although few generalizations can be made about the genre of the 2C songs on the NPR list, as these songs are drawn from just about every imaginable genre, from indie pop to reggaeton, the songs in 2C form on the Hot 100 are somewhat more uniform. Even with a healthy skepticism about genre labels, of the 18 songs in 2C form on the Billboard list from 2021, 12 or 13 of them can best be categorized as hip-hop. Yes, there are also entries by artists like Olivia Rodrigo and SZA, but far more of these songs are by artists who describe themselves as rappers first and foremost. In fact, the only artist who had multiple 2C songs on the 2021 Billboard list is Drake. His Wants and Needs, featuring Lil Baby, is a clear Type 1 song. So is Knife Talk, featuring Project Pat and 21 Savage.
I'm Mr. Body Catcher, Slaughter Gang Soul Snatcher.
It's also worth mentioning that Drake's song, What Next, is one that I identified as maybe in 2C form. It depends on which section one interprets as the chorus. There are 2 viable candidates. Now that I've offered some observations about the 2C songs from 2021, I'd like to explore the Billboard charts from the decade leading up to that point to provide some insight on the history of this form type. I looked at the year-end US Hot 100 charts from 2011, 13, 15, 17, and 19 to see if there is evidence of any emerging trends. Based on this data, I'd like to share some observations about the number of chorus statements in these songs across this decade. Note that nearly every song on these odd-year Billboard charts from 2011 to 2021 is in verse-chorus form. Only a few songs from each year, not more than 3, might reasonably be analyzed as strophic, through composed, or in another shape without a chorus. The most important takeaway from looking at the earlier charts is that the number of songs in 2C form on the Billboard lists generally increased over this time span. In 2011, there was only 1 clear example. In both 13 and 15, there were 6. In 2017, that number rose to 14 examples, and by 2019, there were 16. And as I mentioned before, there were 18 examples of songs in 2C form on the Billboard Hot 100 chart of 2021. The 47 examples of 2C songs that appeared on the 5 earlier year-end charts have much in common with the songs from 2021, both in terms of formal structure and genre. I'll address each in turn. In regard to form, Type 1 songs, or those without a bridge, were the most common in these pre-2021 Billboard charts as well. By my count, 35 out of these 47 songs, or a bit over 80%, are Type 1, while there are 4 examples of Type 2 and Type 3, respectively, or about 9% each. just about every specific formal shape from 2021 has a precedent in a song from one of the earlier charts, both in terms of which sections are included and where those sections appear. When it comes to genre, recall that at least two-thirds of the 2C songs on the 2021 Billboard chart were best described as hip-hop. Not only was Drake the only artist with multiple 2C songs on the 2021 lists, but he also had 2C songs on all but one of the earlier charts I looked at. In fact, his song Headlines was the only clear 2C example from 2011. Having only two chorus statements, it was somewhat of an outlier among the hip-hop and R&B songs that made the Billboard list that year, many of which had not three, but four chorus statements. Examples of four chorus songs from 2011 include Nelly's Just a Dream, Waka Flocka Flame's No Hands, and Wiz Khalifa's Black and Yellow. The mention of four chorus songs leads me to another interesting observation. On the Billboard charts I looked at between 2011 and 2021, there was a slight decrease in the number of songs with at least four chorus statements as the years went on. When I say at least four, that means in most cases exactly four. But there are a handful that have five choruses, like Blanco Brown's The Get Up.
Gonna do the two-step, then cowboy boogie. Grab a sweetheart and spin out with him. Do the hold down and get into it.
To be specific, the three earlier charts I looked at all had between 13 and 16 songs with four or more chorus statements, while none of the charts from 2017 or later cracked double digits. Each had either six or nine songs with more than three statements of the chorus. Without suggesting a causal relationship, it's worth noting that this apparent trend complements the increase in songs in 2C form. While the number of songs with three choruses generally remained static on all six Billboard charts I looked at, on the three earlier charts, 4C songs outnumbered those in 2C form. On the three later charts, however, the opposite was true. Songs with fewer than three iterations of the chorus were more common than those with four or more. And while we're on the subject of songs with fewer than three chorus statements, there are some songs that I analyze that I would argue have only one statement of the chorus. This observation may seem surprising, or perhaps even oxymoronic, to those familiar with form in popular music. One might argue that repetition is central to the definition of this formal section. I typically define the chorus to my undergraduate students by how it repeats lyrics from one iteration to another in the same song. Nevertheless, it is certainly possible for a section that has other hallmarks of a chorus, internal repetition of text, inclusion of the song's title, and a sense of building up or leading to the section in the previous verse and/or pre-chorus. There are at least three tracks, all from 2021, that might plausibly be analyzed with one chorus statement. Note that I did not discuss these songs before among the 38 examples of 2C form. I'll play a bit of the apparent chorus of each. Perhaps the most straightforward of these is Gyalis by Capella Gray. This song has three distinct sections that I'm inclined to label as a verse, pre-chorus, and chorus respectively. But other analyses are possible.
But I'm a jealous, the city is my palace. What I'ma do, cause I want she and she and she and
another is Tombstone by Rod Wave, which includes a single statement of an apparent verse, chorus, and then an outro or post-chorus that recycles a bit of material from the chorus.
Tombstone ain't burying me. By the river they were carrying me. Finally I'll be resting in peace.
Lastly, Happier Than Ever by Billie Eilish is particularly intriguing. The song begins with what I would argue is a clear AABA module, followed by a series of five non-repeated sections that I would label as a verse, pre-chorus, chorus, bridge, and instrumental outro, respectively. Clearly, it would not be appropriate to draw any conclusions about the fact that there are three apparent 1C songs on the 2021 lists, but none on the earlier charts. Little can be inferred from this information alone. But it is consistent with the evidence found on the Billboard charts of a rise in the number of 2C songs and the complementary decrease in the number of songs with four or more chorus statements. If this trend of de-chorusification, that is, if the average number of chorus statements continues to decline or stays low, this would indeed be a sea change for form in popular music. It's worth pausing to ponder why this might be the case. For much of the 20th century, terrestrial radio was the primary means through which consumers encountered new music. Although popular music changed significantly over this period, most music distributed over the radio had something in common. The primary portion of the song was typically heard at least three times. This is true of the Tin Pan Alley era, during which most songs were in AABA form. The refrain, most typically the title line of the song, appeared most often in each of the song's three or more A sections. The same can be said after the mid-60s, when verse-chorus form became the hegemonic formal shape in popular music. Three or more chorus statements were more or less expected. An unfortunate reality of distribution over a medium like radio is that listeners tune in during the middle of a song, or tune out before the song is finished. Saturating tracks with the song's title, whether the refrain or chorus, is advantageous if the goal is to increase the number of consumers who remember the song, even if they only hear a portion of it.
The more people who can sing or at least recall a catchy hook, the more there are who can tell a DJ what to play, or tell the clerk at their local record store what single they'd like to buy.
Today, consumers who listen to new music through, say, Spotify can simply replay a catchy song to hear it again, or check their history to remember what it was they listened to. Even those who listen to radio in their car are likely to have a display on their dash that shows the song title and artist name. Given these contemporary methods of distribution, artists and producers may feel greater freedom to create music in different formal shapes. Not long ago, having three or more chorus statements was a clever and perhaps necessary means of making sure that consumers remembered a song. Today, this is simply no longer the case.
Of course, even though the year-end charts that I looked at show a clear and consistent increase in the number of songs in 2C form, it's not yet clear how generalizable these findings are. For now, I'll continue to explore year-end lists to see if songs with fewer chorus statements becomes the new normal, or if this trend is merely a flash in the pan. Thanks for listening! Thanks to everyone who brought this podcast to life. The entire team at SMT Pod was incredibly helpful and patient throughout the process, and I'm grateful for their help. My peer reviewer, Trevor DeClercq, gave insightful comments that allowed me to improve my first draft dramatically. And I'd also like to thank anyone and everyone who talked to me about this project over the past several months. And there are a lot of you. All of you helped me to think about these songs more clearly and coherently, and I appreciate it.
Visit our website, smt-pod.org, for supplemental materials related to this episode and to learn how to submit your own episode proposal. Join in on the conversation by tweeting your questions and comments to @smt_pod. SMT Pod's theme music was written by Zhengshen Lu, with closing music by David Voss. Thanks for listening.